This message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. At the end, we will give information about how to contact us to receive a copy of this or other messages.
If you have your Bibles, let's open up to Luke's Gospel, and we'll actually just be going back a couple of verses. So we're in chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, and we're picking up in verse 38. This is the reading of God's word. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the reading of God's word. Please have a seat. Let's pray. Father, we pray for your help now. Help us as we are tired. Help us as we too can be so distracted. Help us now to choose the good portion. We pray that you would feed our souls and bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of these memorable stories, huh? And one of the most memorable stories of the Bible actually occurs in a very simple story. You'll notice the way Luke begins, it's just to get right to his point, right? As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. That's all he needs to tell you about the details, because he's not wanting you to focus on the details. He wants to keep it simple so that we focus on what he wants us to focus on. And this story just proceeds very naturally, very, very organically, and in a way that I think a lot of us would recognize. We meet Martha first. And Martha has the honor of the first thing, you know, about her is that she welcomed Jesus. She welcomed Jesus. And we know, if you can remember what the Gospel of Luke has been like so far, that that is a good thing. There have been plenty of people who did not welcome Jesus. And so Martha starts out on a good note. She welcomes Jesus. And Martha does the believing thing, not just the good thing, not just the upright thing. She does the believing thing when she welcomes Jesus into her house. And now the story skips quickly from that welcome to now sort of the event is happening at her house. And we meet Mary next. At Martha's house, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, just listening. Just listening. And this is somewhat unusual because Mary is in the position of a disciple. And during those times, women were not usually the disciples of rabbis. And we talked actually a lot about this back in chapter 8. And if you're interested, I recommend going back and listening to that sermon. But suffice it to say that Jesus' attitude towards women was not identical with the attitude that his culture had toward women. And you see that also in Luke. Luke, our author, Luke, the one who researched this gospel, who put it all together, Luke makes a regular point to show us women, to show us what they were doing, how they were involved. And that too is just a little bit unusual. Now, Mary this night, Mary has one focus. She's single-minded. And all she wants to do is listen to Jesus. That's how we meet Mary. Mary, the sister of Martha, and all she wants to do is listen to Jesus. Now, what's Martha doing while her sister is listening to Jesus? And I don't know why. I just assume Martha's an older sister. Does that resonate? Right? Okay, moving on. What's Martha doing right now? Martha is distracted. It says she was distracted with much serving, or as the New American Standard says, with all her preparations. See, Jesus is there. He's probably the center of this party or this dinner or whatever you would call it. And he's teaching and everyone's paying attention to him. But she, Martha that is, she just couldn't pay attention to Jesus. She was distracted and she was worried by everything that she was doing. Her service had become burdensome. Her service to the Lord had become burdensome. And now if you've ever hosted any kind of event, I think you know exactly what this is like. See, we start out wanting to host, I don't know, barbecues or whatever it is, because we think, oh, that's going to be fun, right? And then, though, as time goes on, maybe the guests are having a great time. In fact, we hope they are. We pray they are. But you are running around just so distracted because you have to figure out, do we have enough ice or something like that, right? The guests are having a great time, but you are buried. You are buried. All the details have sort of drowned the whole event for you. Martha tried to listen. She did. It really looks like Martha tried to listen, but she could not keep focused on what Jesus was talking about. All the work, all the details that were making that evening go, they were calling out to her. Again, can we identify? All the details just would not leave her mind. And so many of us have experienced that. And there's a certain type of person, and I have no doubt that there are many of you here, that sitting still is almost impossible for you. Especially the type that's just used to moving all the time, is used to doing, working all the time. And so Martha, I have no doubt she wanted to listen. I have no doubt she intended to listen, but she is not listening. She started out the passage on the right note. She welcomed Jesus, but then as the night goes on, as she demonstrated her welcome, she began to go off course. This time was supposed to be centered on Jesus, but the work of the welcome was stealing Martha away. Martha was more focused on the work of the welcome than the person who she was welcoming. And so, second half of verse 40, she goes up to Jesus and she says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Then tell her to help me." Again, so human. And we can identify with this moment in part because we know what it's like to have a sibling. At least many of us do. See, the problem here, it's not just that Martha is stressed out. It's not just that she has a lot of work to do. The problem is that her sister is not helping. Sisters, you relate to any of that? And if you have a sibling, I think you understand what this is like too. Like, Martha's not complaining about any other guest. For all we know, there was destructive people that were breaking her furniture and whatever, and she's like, "So glad you're here." But her sister's another story. Her sister should know better. How dare she? She knows that Martha's drowning in all the work. What does she think she's doing, just sitting there listening? There is work to be done. The problem isn't just the stress. The problem is that it is her sister that is not helping. The pressure has been building, and her sister not helping, that is the tipping point. And what follows is just a bad moment for Martha. Because first, really, she seems to accuse Jesus of wrongdoing. She seems to accuse Jesus of wrongdoing. Now, She doesn't seem to go so far as to say, Jesus, you are sinning. But man, does she come close. She is saying something with a real edge here. Because something, it goes something like this. Jesus, this sister over here, right? This is clearly wrong. And you were just sitting there doing nothing. Don't you care? Don't you care about what is happening right here in front of you? Because you're not acting like you care. Oh, you can picture it. Now, I don't know how much Martha understood about Jesus. That's something we should have in mind. In the Gospels, there is a progressive understanding of Jesus, even among the disciples, much less those who are only sort of occasionally in his circles. And so, did she realize that she was talking to God himself? I don't think so. I just don't think so, right? Did she realize, though, that she was talking to an important rabbi? Did she realize she was talking to a miracle worker? Did she realize that she was talking to a prophet of God? That, I think, probably. I think she probably knew it. And moreover, this important rabbi, miracle worker, prophet was only in her home because she had invited him there, which only adds to the reasons you're not supposed to be chastising him. This is bad form on Martha's part. Scripture, it has this way of showing us people at their worst. And I just imagine that's because there's a lot to be learned when you see people at their worst. A lot about people and a lot about God. Anyone who thinks that the Bible is only about heroic people acting right just isn't reading the Bible. It's clearly not. And here we have Martha remembered at a real low moment in her life as she confronts Jesus and calls him out for his lack of action. And it's easy now as we look back on this story and see Martha at her lowest to get all high and mighty and think, oh, Martha, how could you? But we do worse things all the time. You see, I started by saying that I don't think Martha realized that this was God himself. But we do know that, don't we? We do know that. And we are still very willing to chastise God. We rise up in judgment over the Almighty and say, what are you thinking, God? Where did you get that idea? We step up and we inform God that we disagree with him. And you know what that means? He's clearly wrong. He's clearly wrong. Oh man, our willingness to stand in judgment of God is such a foolish sin. I mean, just for example, we would grant across this room that we do not know everything, right? Not a single one of us knows everything. True? Nodding heads, yes. We would also grant that there's not a person in this room who is perfect, right? Nodding heads, yes. And so you have us, we don't know everything and we are not perfect. Isn't it weird that we would then go and criticize the God who does know everything and is perfect? Such a foolish sin of ours. We are willing to look at God and say, God, you got it wrong. You got it wrong on this one. As if the creation has any right to tell the Creator anything. We are way out of our depth. We are out of place completely. The spiritual instinct that's supposed to be in the people of God, actually just any human in general, but especially the people of God, should be this. If I disagree with God, I am always the one who is wrong. That's the instinct we're supposed to have. Where we don't understand what God is doing, we should know it's because we fall short. God is not the one who fell short. And so now coming back to the story, and in one sense, Martha seems to understand Jesus. She seems to appreciate Jesus. But in another, she doesn't understand some very important things about him. And in her confusion, she accuses Jesus of wrongdoing and then helpfully tells him how he could fix it. Her message is basically this: Jesus, you've not been doing what you were supposed to do, but now with my help, you can fix it. And all you have to do is tell my sister to get up and help me. That's all you have to do. You don't picture in this moment that Martha has any doubts. I don't think she has any doubts about it, whether she is right or whether she is wrong. She knows she is right. And she is sure that Mary's wrong. But it turns out Martha's not on the sure ground she thinks she is. In verses 41 and 42, Jesus responds. But when he responds, it's not what Martha was expecting. You see the way he begins. Martha, Martha. And right there, can you hear the tenderness of our Savior? Martha, Martha. You see the way that Jesus responds differently to different people. Because when the Pharisees are coming after him, Jesus has no problems rebuking them as the hypocrites that they were. There is no, oh, Pharisee, Pharisee. But when one of his own comes, a woman overwhelmed with her labors, he responds with tenderness. He responds with patience. He doesn't say, "How dare you speak to me that way?" And honestly, if there's ever anyone who really has the right to say that, it's Jesus. That's not how he responds, though. Says, "Martha, Martha, you are not seeing things clearly." And in a lesson for us all, he still corrects her, but he does so with tenderness. He says, "You are anxious and troubled about many things." Or as the New American, again, it reads, she was worried and bothered. You see, hanging over her was that fear that something was going wrong, or if it had not gone wrong, it was just about to. This fear was hanging over her, and she was anxious. She was anxious about how the whole night was going. You imagine, what was she anxious about? She was anxious about the state of the food. She was anxious about the state of the home. She was anxious about the satisfaction of the guests. She's anxious because she feels alone in it all, because her sister has seemingly abandoned her. She's anxious. Many things are weighing her down, and they're keeping her from what she really needs. Jesus says that what Martha thought was necessary actually is not. And what Martha thought was optional was the real necessity. This is what Martha didn't expect, that Mary had chosen wisely. Jesus says Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And it's actually a nice bit of wordplay there, because portion, that's a word you would use to describe a meal. So while Martha is apparently working away at fixing a meal, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet enjoying a spiritual meal. And Jesus doesn't define the details of what that one necessary thing is, but obviously it's being lived out by Mary. The one necessary thing it isn't found in Martha's service to Jesus, it's found in Mary's nearness to Jesus. What's ironic is that Martha clearly intends to serve the Lord through her hospitality, doesn't she? But it's her hospitality that ends up taking her away from Jesus. The necessary thing for a disciple is to be at the feet of the Savior, dependent on Him, trusting Him, seeking Him, taking full advantage of His nearness. From the story, you can tell that Jesus expects us to keep our priorities in their right order. He doesn't write down somewhere some specific list, this is the rules for every situation, and now you'll know what to do at any given moment. He doesn't do that. He expects us to exercise wisdom and say, what is the necessary thing here? Because was it important to welcome Jesus like Martha did? Yeah. Was food and hospitality important in welcoming Jesus? It sure was. But the question is not as simple as, should people be hospitable? That's not what it's talking about. The question is more about, are we keeping the main thing the main thing? Is the most important thing being treated like the most important thing? See, the most important thing, it was not putting on a meal. The most important thing was sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing Him teach. The most important thing was not, say, the state of the world. The most important thing was the state of her soul. Jesus wants His disciples to be with Him. He wants them to be near Him. Phil Ryken said, the good portion is Jesus Himself. The good portion is Jesus Himself. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? See, we fill our lives with so many things, and some of those things are legitimately important, and some of those things are just outright fluff, but the result is often the same. Either way, we end up distracted from the one thing that is truly necessary, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. As Jesus so gently corrects Martha, you can almost hear His voice carrying down the ages to us today, saying, child of God, what have you filled your life with? What have you filled your heart with? There is one thing that remains necessary, and it is Jesus. When you have set Him at the center of your heart, when you've set Him at the center of your life, you have had everything that you need. When you have chosen Him over all the distractions of this world, you have chosen the good portion. In contrast, when the world has filled up your heart and filled up your time, you have lacked what you truly needed. Where the worries of your life have turned your attention away from your Savior, you have suffered. For everyone here, there is just one simple truth to take home with you. And it's that Jesus is what you need. Jesus is all you need. You have no need greater than Jesus. See, the world and its worries, they're just always going to be there. And at some point, Yes, Christian, you'll have to go deal with those too, but keep the one thing that is necessary in its right place. Keep the one you really need at the center of your heart, at the center of your life, at the center of the way you spend your time. May Jesus Christ be your good portion today and every day of this week and forevermore. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the good portion, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would forgive us for the ways that we have not treated what is most important as if it is most important. We pray that you would bring us back. We pray that you would fill our lives with what we need most, and that we would embrace what you have given us. Truly, we praise you. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. To receive a copy of this or other messages, call us at area code 775-782-6516 or visit our website, gracenevada.com.